if you will, tonight, turn to 1 Peter 2, 5. 1 Peter 2, chapter 5. I've got one verse I'm going to read there, and then I'm going to go back to the book of Acts. Chapter 2 and verse 5 in the first book of Peter. 2 and verse 5. All righty. Verse 5, it says, ye also lively stone are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day, and we want to thank you for the sweet, sweet spirit that we've already felt here. Thank you for the songs. And Father, we do thank you, Lord, that you just help us tonight, Father, to look into thy word, and Father, where we can maybe to understand some truths about what we must do and how your son would want his church to be. And Father, we want to thank you and want to love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, over here in the book of Acts, chapter 4 is where we're going to really start at tonight. But I'm going to go back and look at what was preached Sunday night and what the message was about, and what the message is titled of, is the kind of church that Jesus Christ is building within the individual. That's what he wants. He has a particular way that he's trying to build up his church, his tabernacle. And unless we do it his way, then we're just doing it wrong. And we have so many people out here today, they just want to do it their way. They don't want to realize that God is around. They don't want to even say that God does exist, anything like that. But which he does, and we know that. But also, we can also see where the very first thought, that the very first thing that I believe that the kind of church the Lord Jesus Christ wants, and that's after this one verse that first thought up here, is about a praying church. Now, unless the individual is saved, unless they have the blood of the Lord Jesus applied to their life, when they pray, they just speak in words, because God's not going to hear that prayer. God's not going to hear them pray about, Lord, how am I helping my family out? Or Lord, I've got my mother, she's awful sick. And I'm not speaking about the individual. I'm not speaking about the individual where that they can't pray. Yeah, they can pray, and they have one prayer that they can pray. And after that, the door is open. But it says everywhere you can find a church. that Jesus has built, you're going to find where there's people are praying. It's going to be a praying church. And while it's a praying church, God is working. You know the story about when Peter was in jail, that he had friends, he had family that had gathered, and they had gathered so closely, so knit together, that they was praying to God, that God would do something, God would move on. And he did. God broke away the shackles and everything, and Peter come out of prison. And Peter not only come out of prison, but then he later on, in the book of Acts chapter 2, where he was there on the day of Pentecost, he's one that preached one of the greatest messages at that time that ever been preached, because it was over thousands that got saved. But yet we have people also take and they say, well, Peter, you know, he's the one brought about the tongue movement. No, Peter didn't bring about the tongue movement. I mean, the tongue movement I hear is man-made. I mean, I can go out here and I can go up there and I can go to a church and they can start speaking in tongues and all of that and everything. Oh yeah, I can get out there. I can jab along with them. If you've got a baby, and if that baby's talking, a baby can get out there and jab along with them. Because I don't really think that they're in tune with God. And some people say, yes, they are. Well, my Bible tells me also that when we go and speak the words of God, that we're supposed to speak it into a language to where people can understand. Now, it's a whole lot of people who don't understand the tongue movement. I mean, this is way before me and my wife ever met, but I met a young lady and she was going to church. She invited me to her church. And this was back in the late 60s. The Holiness Church. I mean, and I went in there, and here I was a sinner. And the reason I went to church because she wanted to go to church. So I went with her. But towards the end of the service, I mean, while he was up there preaching, he brought a pretty good message. But then some of the men and some of the ladies, they got out here and they got to shouting. And which, hey, I'm the first one to tell you, I love people that love the Lord enough that they can get out here and they can shout. Yes, you can raise your hand and you can say glory and all that and you can shout. But one thing, when you come back down and when you land, better make sure you land on your feet. Because when I was there that night, they started laying out in the floor. I call him a preacher because he was a preacher at that time. I don't know if he was a pastor or whatever. Had him come back and he was said they were slain in the spirit. I mean, you know, I don't go along with a whole lot of this stuff.
I know. I believe in divine healing. But I do not believe that I have any part in it. It has to be done by God. But it has to be done by God. Why? And God will do His part if we go to Him in prayer. If we go to Him in prayer daily and asking Him to do certain things. And He's got answers for them. He will answer it. It may not be the way we want it answered. May not be in the same time period. But it will be answered. I promise you on that. But that's the first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ, He even taught His disciples to pray. They listened to Him. Now we have one prayer in the Bible that where Jesus is speaking. Some people says that is the prayer that God wants us to pray. No. God wants what's on our heart. He wants what's on our heart. We as individual people, when we come out here and we have to write down a prayer, and then when somebody calls on us, then they have to come up to the podium or pulpit or whatever and stand up here. Now, this right here, I don't mind if they come up here. I don't mind if they want to come up here and pray. But they need to know who they're praying to. And they need not to use the great big old fancy words. I mean, that's the reason why I've got dictionaries. And that's a whole lot of words in the Bible I can't even pronounce. I'll just run over them a little bit. But when I do that, I see where God does it. God lays on our heart what we need to pray for. I believe that with all my heart. Here in Acts chapter 4, in verse 32 down through 37, is speaking about the state of the church at Jerusalem. And it says in verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that ought of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Verse 35, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made upon every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was by the apostle, was surnamed Barnabas,
which is being interpreted the Son of Consolation. The Son of Consolation, what that means is exhortation. It means that we must exhort the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we exhort the Lord Jesus Christ? By His Word. And by the things that He's given us, things that we must do. Over in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 10. Let's back up to verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that thou may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive them. When we read that one verse there in Malachi 3 and verse 10, we always think about tithing. And what is and when people start thinking about tithing, well, am I supposed to give them the 10%? I mean, are we supposed to give 10% on the gross? Or are we supposed to give 10% on the net? Well, I think it should be 10% on the gross, on the whole part. But that's not, I won't fall out with anybody about it, and I don't think God will either. But see, that 10% belongs to Him. He could have said it this way: bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that thou may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that thou shall not be room enough to receive them. You know the reason we don't receive the blessings? Because that's all we do give Him, is the 10%. What did He say up in verse, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. 10%. Now, they got the tithes to him. Everybody says it's 10%. Even some of the bankers and everything, they set out, I don't know if it is or not. It could be more than that, I don't know. But if it's 10%, if you go out here and you raise potatoes in your garden, and if you had a good crop that summer, and if you come up with 40 bushels of potatoes during that summer, are we supposed to give God 10% of that? I think so.
But when God, blesses,
and Lord knows He's blessed me, and He's blessed some of y'all, I know that. If not all of He's blessed. Because that's the kind of God we serve. But He blesses on the offering. Because the offering is what we got to sacrifice. That's just like in it when they had the tabernacle in the wilderness. And when Moses and everything and all them. And when they had the high priest there. Going to the tabernacle. What did he do? He had to dress out from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. And right around his garment. You have some of my, I've looked it up and everything, but some of them said they had bales right around the garment at the bottom. But then you can also find where someone would say, that wasn't it. That wasn't what he had. What he had was a rope that he tied, they tied a rope around him. And I'll go with the rope more than I will with the bells around his garment. Because within that rope, he had bells all down the rope. When he went into the tabernacle, when he went into the Holy of Holies, if he had one sin, If he did not come spotless before a holy and righteous God when he was in there, he would drop dead just like that. See, he was going in for the sacrifice for the people. What did the people have to sacrifice in the offering? The animals, the goats. And they come and they would bring them. And you had the laver up there where they cleaned them and where the blood would go right there in the laver. If he was to drop dead, back out. Because what somebody else had done, if they come in and applied some of that blood they said it was totally something, I forgot what the name of it was. But said every time he went in and he had the piece, I don't know if it was wood or what it was, but it was draped in red. The blood of the goat. But see, if there was a blemish on any of the animals that was sacrificed, that where it was laid in that laver, he dropped dead. So that's the reason I say, if he had just the bells around him, around his garment, couldn't nobody go in and get him? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Couldn't nobody go in and get him? So that's when I go by what they're saying about the rope. Because on the outside, they would have the rope. And they would pull him back out. That's because of the offering. You know the reason? I think the reason what we can look at today is when that veil was rent. Not from the bottom up, but from the top down. When it was rent from the top to the bottom, that was a sacrifice for us. And he was the ultimate sacrifice when he went to Calvary. And he is the one that died for us and gave us life and gave it to us more abundantly. And that's the reason I will not preach anything else but what's in this Bible right here. I know sometimes maybe I may make mistakes and I may say something wrong. I'm human. But the only thing I asked you to do is just pray for me. Because I don't know if anybody else is perfect. Do y'all? Are y'all perfect? Now, I don't claim to be perfect. I said if there's a perfect church, I would have to go to it. I'd have to go to it and go in it. So I could really allow God to show up. Because as soon as I'd walk in, it wouldn't be perfect no more. It would be imperfect. But what he's saying right here, what the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is telling us as his children, first of all, after we are saved, the Holy Spirit will teach us how to pray. He will teach us in what to pray for. Then he will also help us in our giving process and our tithes and offering. Now what we get here, the Lord blesses. Well, no more people we got here. And still got 28 missionaries. I mean, you know, but we need to be where the gospel is going to be preached. It's going to be preached about prayer. You have a prayer life? Preached about giving, and Sunday night it's going to be about soul winning. It's going to be about soul winning. And Jesus Christ wants his church to be a soul winning church. Now, I know that We cannot carry the Bible around with us all the time. I know that. Especially when you're out going to a grocery store or something like that. But I will say this. I think all of y'all know Roy Newton, right? Preacher Roy Newton. He's got his pocket right here. And he's got either 30 to 40 tracks in it. And he's going to pass them out. And after he passes them out, then he's had some people come to him. Well, ask him about this and that and everything. What does this mean? And he will tell them. That's what he does now. He's not able to preach anymore because he says his throat bothers him so much that people can't understand him, and I can understand that. He was a fireball when he was younger. But hey,
I don't understand. I can't see all of these preachers going and preaching at 80 or 85, 90 years old. I'll tell you, like Brother Joe Arthur. Brother Joe Arthur, he's just in his 50s. And he has slowed down a whole lot. But he still has meetings every week. Every week through the year. Still. And he will travel. If he happened to come to Danville, if he come to Faith or come to Community, wherever he was coming to, from Georgia, from where he lives at down in Georgia, he would go get on a plane. And he would fly in, usually either Greensboro, but wherever he's going to go to. And he'll preach Monday and Tuesday night. Wednesday night, he'll be back at his own church. Unless it's so far away that he don't, you know. But he's got a young man now up there now that's helping him. He's preaching for him some too. And that's his son. I forgot his first name. But now his son's doing some preaching. Well, Brother Joe will do that. And then he will get back and hop back on the front plane again on Thursday morning. And he'd come back to the same church he preached at on Monday and Tuesday night. And he'd be there preaching on Thursday and Friday night. And he don't put no monetary goods on his meetings either. He says, I've been in the churches with 200, 300, 400 people, and I will end up, they'll end up giving me less than what a church with 80, 50 or 80 people will give them. He says, it's not the great big churches he goes to. He just does it by faith. And I know I went a little too long tonight, but I'm going to close right there tonight. Like I said, it's Sunday night, and what we're going to do, we're going to pick up on Sunday night. We're going to get into soul winning. So, y'all come on back for that, and I know Sister Nancy won't be here, but we're still praying that God's got something special like that for you. He has. I believe that. And I don't know what it is. He does. But he's got something very special for you.